Message, M.030, Life from the Dead. A word given by Cecil J. DuSeal, 30th of January, 1971.
Praise the Lord. We're going to turn our Bibles to John chapter 11. That's what comes to me, and I believe God has something there for us. And we're going to speak of life from the dead.
Amen. Praise God.
Life from the dead. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came in to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, Martha. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn your Bibles again to Daniel chapter 12. Praise God. Daniel chapter 12. And we begin at the first verse. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. You notice the qualification there.
Amen.
Not just thy people, not just the sons of Abraham, not just the carnal Israel, but everyone that is written in the book, that's Israel. That is Israel. Everyone that is written in the book, he said, shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them, not exactly all of them,
amen,
but many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. My God. Amen. I just feel to read the scriptures, brethren. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. Amen. Everlasting shame and contempt. We don't believe that every man is going to be saved, and every old devil is going to be taken out of hell and be saved.
Amen.
The Bible said everlasting shame and contempt. And if the word everlasting as translated by the Jehovah Witnesses means for times and ages and times to come, then the word everlasting as pertaining to my salvation also means for times and ages and time to come. And I'd be on very flimsy grounds, brother. My salvation would end after periods of time. But blessed be to God. God used the same word for salvation as he used for damnation.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if I believe it one way, I've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
Amen. If you believe that you're going to be saved, you're going to be, everybody's going to be saved, because God didn't mean everlasting damnation. It means you're going to burn for a time and burn and burn and burn for maybe, this guy said, maybe 1,000 years, maybe 2,000, maybe 3 or 4, maybe 1,000,000 years. But he knows that the loving God is going to bring back. Blessed be to God Almighty. God said that which he had shall be taken away from him. You know what God was talking about? The spirit which God gave that wretched man who rejects God and who hates God, God is going to take it away from him.
Yeah.
Every good thing that God had given him, God's going to take it away from him. Even that which he had shall be taken away from him. And he that had to him shall be given more abundance.
Yeah.
God Almighty said it in his word. I believe God more than I believe these preachers.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 42.
John 6,
we read from verse 42 going down. There are two verses there that are very, very important. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother were known? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Same thing's going to happen to you, brethren. When you start to tell people that you came down from heaven, they're going to say, but this is crazy. Isn't that guy the same one that we knew, went to school with or something like that? My God, we have been changed and the world don't even know it.
Right.
We have been transformed and the world doesn't know it. And we shall come forth in Christ Jesus in the resurrection and they don't even know it. Believe you me, he said, Jesus therefore answered, verse 43, and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. Praise be to God, I believe the last day is the seventh day.
Amen.
The last day of any week is the seventh day. Amen. And I believe we are entering into the millennium in which God shall raise up man.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me already hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me, you don't have to go anywhere to find everlasting life. You have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
He comes back again, that it is only the man with the eternal life within him, who he will raise up at the last day. So you don't wait till you die to get eternal life. But if you don't have it now, you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you've got to have it now. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Pardon me. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he unto in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they is a hard saying. Who can bear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So those people who can't accept the words of God can't accept the Spirit. When you accept the words, you accept the Spirit. And when you accept the Spirit, you receive the Spirit. Many people want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, And they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but they don't accept the Word. The Word of God is the thing that comes to you, and when you accept the Word, then you accept the Spirit. So the Spirit of God comes in because you accepted the Word. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that heard not, that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Praise God. I want you to turn your Bibles again with me, and let us go turn back a little. Turn back with me to chapter 5. And verse 23, going down, and there are two verses here that I particularly want you to see. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is already passed from death unto life. Yes. Now we are talking about the resurrection from the dead. Amen. And many of us don't know that very often in the scriptures we are referred to as the dead. Even those who have received the word of God, you are still numbered among the dead, but you are dead in Christ. Some are dead out of Christ. Some are dead outside of Christ. We are in Christ, but we have not yet come alive. Amen. And this is the word that's coming to us. But it's passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, this would sound contrary to what I just said, but it isn't. You are passed from death unto life by faith.
Yes.
By your belief. Amen. But you still await the hour when you will be resurrected into the life that is in Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. The hour is coming. And now is. Jesus was standing there at that hour. And he said, the hour now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Praise God. Let's turn our Bible. Just hold that, because there's another verse here you must have. Hold that there. Put in a marker there. Marker. And then turn backwards to Matthew chapter 27. And we check on verse 50, going down to 53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Amen. Read again this verse, what Jesus said. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This was what Jesus was saying, that the hour now is. He was speaking of the time when he would be slain and when he would rise up again from the grave, when he would preach to the spirits in prison, when they would get the message of life and they would rise up from the grave. Well, this morning, by the grace of God, we're going to find out why they did rise up. Why didn't all the dead get up? When Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth, why didn't every Lazarus in the world jump up and come forth? And so, as we go along here, let's read a little. For as the Father hath life in where? Himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I want you to notice those words. Where did he have the life? In himself. Where did God have his life? In himself. Where will you have your life? In yourself. Amen. So if you have no life now, you have no life. This is the reason why there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish, and the 5 that were foolish had oil in their vessels, and had oil in their lamps, and had no oil in their vessels. And when the oil in their lamps ran out, but there was no oil to replenish the oil, they had no life in himself. And Jesus said to them, the bridegroom said, I know you not, because if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. In other words, the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of resurrection. Let's check it out. I'm not giving you anything here that we are not checking out. Therefore, why did these people rise from the grave and not rise as a spirit resurrection, but they rose as a physical resurrection? The rocks were rent, the graves were opened, and the living natural bodies came out, walked up and down Jerusalem and told people how to do. The Bible said they appeared unto many.
Yes, true.
Amen. Amen. Somebody saw Abraham walking in Jerusalem. And this thing was known by the prophets of old, because God told Joseph, when he was dying, he said, come boy, put your hand under my thigh and swear to me that you will take my body out of Egypt and bury me in Jerusalem beside Abraham. Amen. And they took the body, and for 40 years they lugged around with this body in the wilderness. And they had wars and they had fights, and one time they had to run and leave the enemy. But they had the body dear as a treasure, carrying to the promised land. And when they did reach Jerusalem, in the field of Machpelah, where they bought that, Abraham bought the field and buried Sarah, his wife. They dug a hole out, they found a rock and put that body of Joseph there, and Joseph was comfortably waiting till Jesus came.
Amen.
When Jesus came, Joseph got up out of that tomb. Why? Where did he get the unction to get up? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus went into hell. That's what happened. His soul His soul went into hell. His body was lying in a tomb, wrapped up in grave clothes from head to foot, like how they wrap these guys. Wrap his 2 feet together, his 2 big toes tied together, his thumbs, everything tied up. And just as Lazarus wriggled out of that tomb, he was wrapped up, his jaw was tied like this, and he was well wrapped up in the Jewish fashion. And so Jesus left his body, his soul was taken by the devil down into hell. And why? How did the devil get a chance to take Jesus' soul? Do you remember Jesus crying out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus took upon himself sin, he not only took so much sin that he became sin. That's why Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness as a type of Jesus Christ. How could a serpent, the very opposite emblem to the Son of God, represent the Son of God? Because the people were sinning, and they were sinning, and they were sinning, and God allowed fiery serpents to come up from the sand and to strike them, and they were dying. And God told Moses, make a brazen serpent, put it up there as an emblem of a savior that takes all your sin. Take away the serpent out of you, take it unto himself, put that serpent. And he said, look and live. Look and live. And as they were dying, men would take their eyes and turn it up. And as they saw the serpent, they would revive. Blessed be to God. They looked and they lived, because there was a Christ Jesus to come who was going to take the sins of man, and he was going to absorb man's sin within his own soul, that he became sin. The spirit left him. The man-child spirit, the Christ spirit that he had within his soul, walked out on him. And he found himself an ordinary wretched man suffering for sin. And the demons were there glaring at him, waiting to waft him off into the land of the dead. Bible said he went down into hell. Said, this is the only sign I will give you, said Jesus. He said, the sign of Jonah in the whale of the belly, the Son of Man shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of hell. Amen. How would he get there if he was filled with the Holy Ghost and have the Christ Spirit? His spirit had flown. Bible said he gave up the ghost. Christ was the spirit that left him. Left him alone. And the spirit of God flown and left him. And he died like a man. He didn't die like God. God can't die. God can't die. He died like a man. And he went into hell. Because they took him down to hell. And they tormented him. Paid the price. He didn't just make a show of it and say, I'm going to pay, and he didn't. He paid the price of sin. When he went down there, he was tormented. The Christ spirit went back to God, but the Christ spirit is a high priest spirit. The Christ spirit that you have in you is a high priest spirit. The spirit that will walk through the tabernacle with the blood. and will carry your case before the bar of God and vindicate you. Therefore, he went back into the Holy of Holies in heaven, for things that are in heaven, the pattern of them are the things on earth. So if we have a Holy of Holies down here, there's one up there. That's why you have three heavens.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And so he went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the Lamb. And he wanted God to judge the case. And when God judged the case, God judged the man that he had paid the price of sin. And after the price is paid, there is no more you can require from a man. Therefore, he commanded that his spirit should go back into him. When the Christ entered into the soul of Jesus in hell, Jesus came alive. Amen. And David leaped and said, my soul had indeed rested in hope, for I know my God was not going to suffer his Holy One to see corruption.
Amen.
And David saw his God, and Abraham leaped. And Abraham saw his God, and all the little people who used to believe in God in their hearts, all the little widows who used to love their God, they saw their God. This is the Christ I've waited for. Amen. And they came, and you know what happened to them? They also received the Spirit of Christ. My God, he said, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men, and men leapt out of hell, each man seeking for his own body. Because let me tell you, it's not a theory. Turn your Bibles to Romans 8. No theory, brother. The man Paul got the thing straight from heaven. God bless him. I don't know if we can send blessings across the barrier, but may God bless him. He really give us something here. Praise God. Amen. Romans 8. And we take the verse 11. He says here, but I want you to take 10 first, and let me give you another point before I come to this one. And if Christ, you notice the word if, you notice the word if, the if is also in Greek. It is not just inserted there. It is a definite word in Greek. It's used to show doubt. If Christ be in you, that means some of us as Christians filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't have Christ in us. He said, if Christ be in you, he was talking to Holy Ghost church, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the spirit is life because of righteousness. You notice he did not say the spirit is alive. The spirit is life. The life of God is the spirit. Praise God. But if the spirit, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead. No, come on, brethren. Who was Jesus? Why did he say Jesus and then he said Christ? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who rose up Jesus from the dead? This is Jesus, the soulish man. That's Jesus. A man's soul is the man. So the Christ spirit rose up Jesus from the dead. But who rose up Christ? The Father.
Yes, amen.
The Father gave Christ the go when he went through that tabernacle with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He was raised up by God. God gave him the go, and he went down into hell and picked up his spirit and his soul. And his soul went down into the tomb and picked up his body. And when he picked up the body, he folded up the clothes neatly. Amen. Isn't that something? He took off the old wraps that they had on to him, and he folded them neatly and put them down. Bless God, I don't know if he didn't wash them. I can't imagine he left them dirty. They must have been clean. Just put them down there. Amen. Praise God. You know, I know of a man who was transported out of a jail by God. They had beaten him and his blood had fallen on his clothes, and he was bloody all over and dirty. They had been slamming him all over the place, and they took off his clothes and left him naked. And he was praying, and suddenly his clothes was clean, pressed and ready right beside him. And he put on the clothes and he kept praying, and he found himself outside the gate, looking back upon the gate. And he said, but God, I'm still, the wall is still before me. And he said, no sooner than he said that, he found himself standing on the street. He looked around him and took off. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is the sort of thing God does. Here, Jesus Christ folded his clothes neatly, put it one side, clean and ready for Mary to pick up. Amen. I won't need this again, he said. But when they saw him outside, he was clothed. Amen. Amen. They didn't see him naked. You never seen a spirit of God naked. Because the very spiritual power that you have clothed you. Amen. And so we see here verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if he dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. So that means you are being quickened by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Your resurrection is in you. Your resurrection is not far out there like we used to believe in time past. A big old trumpet is going to blast and we're going to get shook up and something from outside is going to take a hold of us and blast us off into this clear blue sky. See, God is going to quicken us from within. Amen. From within, just like the rockets blast off from their own power, you've got to have it inside to make a move with God. God's resurrection is from within. Well, that's the point I was showing you there. Let's go back to the other point in John chapter 5. Now, verse 27 here, and speaking about the Son having life in himself, verse 26 says, the Son has life in himself, that God the Father have life in himself, and the conclusion is that you should have life in yourself. Now, verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Watch now. Up in the verse we read at verse 25 said that the hour is coming and now is. That was the resurrection that should come to pass right away at that time. But he was speaking of a further hour now. Another time, the same time that Daniel spoke about. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Plain as ABC. Amen. There is going to be a resurrection of damnation, and there is a resurrection of life. Now, praise God. God, therefore, is working your resurrection in you. If the resurrection is coming from within you, God must be at this time working that very work within you now. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy. How is it work? How is this work going to be done? How is it going to be done? God must have some method which he reveals to us. And chapter 1 and verse 10 must have some method that he reveals to us of the working of this resurrection. Amen. But is now made manifest, let's read verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us, where? In Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. Now, brethren, very often we are criticized for making these kinds of statements. But now you listen carefully to what your Bible tells you. That life was given to you, the grace of God was given to you before the world began. Where were you? Before the world began, where were we? Amen. You want to know where you were? Let's hold that scripture. Let's turn way back now to Genesis. Amen. Amen. And chapter 2. Now, and we read verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. No man to till the ground, no earth, yet they were created. Let me tell you where they were, in God. God had created all these things before they were put in the earth. Right there before your eyes. I'm sure nobody's against that. Right here before our eyes, we see that man existed in God as a part of God's creation even before he was manifest. Remember, there are two things that happened to man and to all these seeds. They were both created and afterwards made. God created man, and after we saw that God created man, we went on and read further that God made man. You have any doubts? Turn your Bibles back a little further back. Verse 27, chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Where were they? What was the order of God's making man? Wasn't it one man he made? He said male and female created he them. They were created before they were made. Amen. And so man existed in God. Let's get back to what we were reading before. Praise God. Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and we were at verse 10. Were created, then afterwards God made us. Therefore, God had something in mind. Did God have in mind a wretched, sniveling little human thing crawling upon the earth, eating dirt, and committing sin? Do you think this is what God really created? Amen. Now, sir, if I know God, he didn't make this thing. He planned and saw in his mind a glorious creature bringing glory to God like his son Jesus Christ. And we are only in an evolutionary process, or whatever you want to call it, metamorphosis, or whatever you want to call it, but we are yet being made. And what we see today is an unfinished product.
Amen.
And what we see tomorrow is a glorious fullness of a product that is finished in God. I can't serve God on a lesser ground than this. Amen. But, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Death is already abolished. Life and immortality is already brought to light. Man only needs to walk into that which is already done and already prepared for us. Life and immortality we have already received. We only need to walk into it. Praise be to God. Let's turn our Bibles around a little more. Some people take a lot of scripture to convince them. So let's go back to Ephesians. Amen. Amen. Verse 9, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. This is the will we were talking about. To bring man into complete perfection and fullness, and that the glory of God should come forth in the human race. This is the will of Almighty God from before the foundation of the world. Amen. And God doesn't see a fallen man. God sees a glorious man walking upon the earth in the end time and breaking the stronghold of the devil and casting the devil into a frequency that he'll never come back.
Yes.
Amen. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. My God, we are not only going to be one with us, but we are going to be one with them. We are going to be one with Christ. We're going to be one with God. We're going to be one with the spirits of just men made perfect. We are going to be one with the church that has gone on before. We are being made one in the Spirit. Glory to God. What is our condition at present? What is our condition at present? Turn your Bibles again. 1 Corinthians 15. And let us see what Brother Paul says about our condition. Oh, God bless Brother Paul. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 34 says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. He was speaking to a Holy Ghost filled church. And he said to them, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He was talking to a church that weren't sleeping. I don't think he meant that they were naturally sleeping, but spiritually they were asleep. He said, get up, awake. Amen. Now, I want to know from where I should. Let's read from verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, just the seed of it. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. He's trying to show the comparison between the gopher wood and the ordinary piece of wood outside there. He's trying to show the comparison of the veil that hangs in the tabernacle, the different of the flesh that is interspersed, the flesh that is interspersed with red and gold and scarlet and blue and white. Amen. He is trying to show the difference of the natural, carnal, physical man and the difference of a man that is covered with the nature of God, the anointing of the Spirit, the purity of the saints. Amen. And the message of death to self. He's showing the difference between the natural man and the man with the cherubims engraved upon him. The spirit work, amen, the cunning work of the cherubims engraved upon his flesh. Within him is a spirit. He's no longer carnal, just a veil hanging up, but he's a different kind of flesh. Said the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial, earthly, is another. Just like the glory of the celestial differs from the glory of the terrestrial, so you differ from the man outside the street.
Amen.
Amen. In glory. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differed from another star in glory. There is the glory of Jesus Christ himself, the sun. There is the glory of the church, the moon. And there is the glory of the stars, the sons of God. Amen. And each star has a different glory, brighter or lesser, as his glory be. Blessed be to God. Paul was speaking of the spiritual. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Amen. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now when Lazarus got up from the grave, he was still Lazarus. Amen. Jesus Christ quickened Lazarus from the grave. And Jesus Christ did not quicken Lazarus' spirit. Jesus Christ did not quicken Lazarus' soul. Because the point is that Lazarus wasn't even saved. Lazarus was only saved by hope. For Jesus promised him salvation, and it was sure and good. But it was hope. He had not yet appropriated, received within his being the thing that should raise him up from the grave. Jesus Christ gave him a carnal physical resurrection, and he had to die again. Amen. We are talking of something different, brother.
Yes.
Something that is being worked within you to make you incorruptible.
Yes, hallelujah.
To bring you into a realm that you can never more be corruption. Neither can you ever more, never ever more be dead. You know what's great about incorruptibility? You know what's marvelous about incorruptibility? Incorruptibility takes the spirit, takes the soul, the incorruptible soul, and takes the body, makes it incorruptible. And incorruptibility is of such a glorious quality that if you speak to the lamp, it becomes incorruptible. You can make anything incorruptible that you speak to, because you are the master of all things when you come forth in Christ Jesus. This is the reason we are going to redeem creation. Hallelujah. This is the reason God is bringing man through fire. Amen. To bring him to a state where he will be changed to the likeness and image of God through that which he has received within him. And he will break the stronghold of nature and the carnal law that hold mankind and every beast of the field. Glory to God. Every beast of the field, every plant, every flower is held by a carnal law, subjected to that law because their king died. And the devil took a hold and called himself king. Wretched fellow. He had the effrontery to go and offer Jesus Christ, "All these kingdoms will I give you if you bow down and worship me." My God, I think Jesus had to really control the Christ in him not to blast him off at that moment into a frequency that he would never come back. Thank God he keeps power out of the hands of impetuous men as we are, we would have finished with the devil from that minute until then. If thou wilt bow down and worship me, all these will I give thee, because you know it has been handed over to me. Amen. He didn't say who handed it to him. God never gave him. He took it by subterfuge and lies from Adam or Father, and we're going to take it back from him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. So he's boasting that I am king down here. But he's trembling in his boots as he got in. Well, I don't think Satan has any boots. He's barefooted anyhow. He's trembling anyhow about his kingdom that is being challenged by men. Blessed be to God, this was the focal point of his sin. He believed that he would have been able to overcome man anyhow. He thought man was a little trash that he could take a hold of and beat him out at any circumstance. And God Almighty has been proving to the devil that he can't beat man. And he took a little man named Job. And that fellow, poor fellow, didn't even have the blood of Jesus Christ. All he did was just believe in his little blood sacrifice. And he battered him up and down for 3 years. And the man couldn't break. And the devil should have learned a lesson from that time. If I was in his shoes, I would repent. Satan hasn't got the sense to repent. It's horrible though. That just shows you where a man can reach. He can reach a point where he can neither repent, yes, nor love, nor anything. He has gone beyond hope. It's this a beautiful chapter here. Let's just finish it before we get tired. Praise God. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, a natural body is a body that is subject to natural laws. A spiritual body is one that is subject to spiritual laws. So if we at this time should make a complete transfer from the natural, pardon me, to the spiritual, then we would no longer be dependent upon the energy that we draw from the earth, but we would be dependent on the energy that we draw from above. For God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So that means that the words that come from God is energy. Even the energy we feel here this morning, it's not because all of us feel absolutely wonderfully good while we are sitting down here listening. But there is an energy that God gives us that makes us want to come and to listen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are drawing energy from another source. I can remember the doctor saying that a man would die if he doesn't eat for 9 days at least. He's supposed to die. A carnal, physical, natural man must die if he doesn't eat for 9 days. Some of us never eat for 40 days, never drink water, never eat, and we are alive. That means we have found out how to draw energy from another source. Jesus did it. Amen. So we find here that the spiritual man is a different man from the natural man. The spiritual man is in progression. He is coming away from the natural Adamic man. He has denied him. He has turned his back upon him. And he is going towards another type of life that is above him and is reaching out to grasp that life, and he is tasting of a new existence. People sick, you pray for them, they are healed. It's not magic. It's energy that comes from the realm of the spirit and heal them, deliver them from demon powers. Now let's go on again. Verse 44. It is sown a spiritual body, it is raised, and it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Amen. The first man Adam was made a living soul, natural man. The second Adam was a quickening spirit, and he was God from heaven. That's what quickening spirit means. A life-giving spirit, a man-child, not a woman drawing life, but a man giving forth life. That's the meaning of masculine. This is what actually the thing said. This word quickening spirit is masculine. Amen. And he wasn't, again, in the realm of a woman church that draws life from the man Christ Jesus, but he came forth as a man child. And then the next man child that will be coming forth is the one that you are now pregnant with. Amen. The church is now pregnant with the man child in your soulish realm.
Yes.
Not in your spirit, not in your body, but in your soul.
Yes.
And this man child, when he comes forth in your soul, is going to take charge of your body and make it incorruptible, and take charge of the whole nature, make it incorruptible. The first act that the man child is going to do on earth is going to strike the kingdoms of Babylon and destroy them. Then will he begin to gather in the people of God into Jerusalem and into the company of the man-child. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. 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 That's a different thing from earthly. Did you notice that? This word earthy means carnal. Yeah. Dependent on the things of the earth, think about the things of the earth, live for the world and the things of this world. Earthy. The second man is the Lord God from heaven, as is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We find some people preaching a doctrine wherein they are saving their clothes for when they come back, to come back in the physical to take charge of their clothes. I know a man and a family that they will not allow 1 inch of land to be sold out of the family, because they are supposed to return to take back their land, and all the man's clothes are being brushed and kept hung up there in a cabinet in a place being kept until he returns to take back his clothes. He is a Jehovah Witness. Now, the Bible speaks expressly. You are not coming back here for any clothes.
Yeah.
Amen. It's peculiar. Those who want to gather clothes are going to get a lot of it. Because if the Spirit quick me now and I'm changed, this thing drop off. It happened to Jesus. Why wouldn't it happen to me? The clothes that Mary and all the other women so neatly wrapped him in, he came out of it. and fold it up neatly and put one side. And when they saw him, he was well clothed.
Yeah, that's
true. Amen. So I don't think I'm going to need that kind of clothes and have to have dry cleaners working around the clock to keep me going. Amen. Praise God. So then, he says here, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep.
Yes.
Not everybody who is sitting down here is going to die. Some of us here will never die. This is what the Bible said. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, two things are going to happen here. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and the next thing, we shall be changed. Now, I believe that this thing was written by Paul with specific God language. I tell you why. Up here, he mentioned in verse 54, we shall not all what? Die. That's what he said. He said, we shall not all what? Sleep. And Jesus used the word sleep. And when they couldn't understand him, he said, okay, he's dead. You see, but he didn't mean dead, he meant sleep. Because dead men don't rise up unless they come to judgment. But sleeping men will get up. And so Jesus used the word, he set the precedence for the church to use the word, instead of saying dead for Christians, you say sleep for Christians.
Yes.
But Paul couldn't have made this mistake. In verse 54 he said sleep, and in verse 51 he said sleep, and in verse 52 he said dead shall rise. What God is talking about, brethren, and I'll give you it plain, is that there are some people here who are in Christ, but they are dead. Let me draw it on the board. A man who has the blood of Jesus Christ in his soul, amen, he is not alive. He is only quickened to life. What the Bible says about him. He says he gives you authority, exousia, not dunamin, not power, not explosive power, but exousia, which only means I have given you the authority. Jesus said, I give you authority to become sons of God.
Yes.
That means you are not yet sons of God, but I only give you the authority that you may become sons of God.
Amen.
So when a person is quickened by the blood of Jesus Christ, what God has actually done is to do something to your soul that you will be alive enough to want God. For you didn't want God within yourselves, and you cannot want God, Jesus said, except the Father draw you, then you are dead. So therefore, he touched you in the soulish realm, and you begin to desire God. When you desire God enough, then you receive the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's another quickening in your spirit, but you yourself is yet unredeemed.
Yes.
In other words, your redemption began.
Yes.
with the blood. Then it made a step further, number two step, the Spirit of God comes into your spirit, fill you with the Holy Ghost, that you might desire the man child. Amen. For God's plan is to save your soul. Amen. God is using it in this way because God could not contact your soul directly. God had to first contact your spirit. For your spirit is on such a frequency that it can cooperate with your soul. But God could not come directly to your soul. It would be too much power. So God got into your spirit by bringing his spirit into your spirit, spirit to spirit. Amen. And he made a connection. Then your spirit connect with your soul and make another connection. This is the case with Mary. God sent an angel first, and the angel tempted Mary and explained God's plan to Mary, and Mary jumped and said, let me have it now. Amen. And this is what God wanted. He excited her, and he made her desire him. The moment she desired God, God stepped right in. And God cannot step in unless you call him. You must desire him. So what God is doing to us is creating desire in us for him. And so when the desire came, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her the very day. He didn't wait until she cool off in her mind. I begin to think. The Bible said that John was 6 months, and John's mother was 6 months pregnant. And the very day she conceived, because John was 6 months older than Jesus, so it had to be. Within those 24 hours, she had to conceive also. And so she conceived because she desired it. You will conceive the Christ man or the man child because you desire it. Amen. So this is why he said, if, speaking to a Holy Ghost filled church, and he said, if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. So after you've received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, you need to submit to the Holy Ghost to receive the Spirit of Christ. Turn your Bibles. Hold that. Hold this here. And turn your Bibles with me backwards to John chapter 14. Amen. Verse 23. I have got to prove it all the way for some people because they're not used to this sort of thing. Glory. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You have got to love God. You have got to be a Christian. You have got to keep his word. Then will the Jesus man come into you. Then will the man child be birthed in you. Then will you have the seed. Then, as Paul said, he planted seed of pure grain or of wheat or of whatever seed, and the body that you shall receive is a new body, because the seed will grow and bring forth a new body, not that which was planted, but even something more glorious. And this is what happens. Within your soulish realm, a seed will be planted when you submit to God. Man who has the Holy Ghost and is not in obedience to the Holy Ghost has not got the man child. He'll never have him until he begins to obey the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Obedience, therefore, turn our Bibles back to Corinthians. Amen. Because we must close here now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 23. Verse Yeah, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, verse 52, the trumpet shall sound. Now, this word trumpet, you've got to ask yourself the question, why did Paul use the word trumpet? Why didn't he say a message or a voice or a song? Why did he use the word trumpet? Paul was quoting the Old Testament. Paul was quoting the Old Testament and he was talking about the Feast of Trumpets. Amen. Paul was talking of the time when the trumpeters would come out and blast that last trumpet. Amen. And it was a message to heaven and to earth. This is the trumpet being sounded.
Amen.
Brethren, you may believe it or you may not believe it. It will be your fault, for God said, my words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, and they can only be taken by the Spirit. Amen. But this is the trumpet that is sounding to call the sons of God to rally to the standard of Almighty God and the army of God that will stand in the earth and will break the power of the beast and the false prophet and the false church and the false imaginations which Rome and Babylon have put up in the earth. God Almighty has brought for the people that will break it by the sheer force of the Christ that is within them. Lucio, hallelujah. Amen. The stone cut out of the mountain without hand is about to roll. Bless be to God, she's going to roll down into Babylon.
Amen.
All this wicked Babylonian system, all the demonic forces of hell that hold the people of God, that is breaking the life out of the little girls and the little boys on the street, they shall be torn down by one violent blast from the sons of God. Amen. I know it is going to happen. I know. I tell you, I know. Amen. The army of God called forth. Nobody knows who. Within our soul, the Christ man grows. And as the Christ man grows, we will become more troublesome to the sons of the devil. Amen. And as we become more troublesome, they begin to notice us. Amen. And as they begin to notice us, they will try to make laws against us. Then they begin to try to apprehend us. And blessed be to God Almighty, God shall defend us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the sons of God will go around defending the church. That's why you can't be a sectarian Christian and be in the 144,000 company at all. You just can't be. Amen. Because if you are for Babylon, you are for Babylon. And if you are for God, you are for God. And you must either don't join anything and join nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified and come together with the sons of God. Or you must be one that has a wandering spirit that go from place to place and have no abiding city and don't know who is your brother from who is your enemy.
Amen.
Because the spirit of the Antichrist is going to preach a gospel. The spirit of the Antichrist is going to do miracles. The spirit of the Antichrist is going to be a church system. It's not a world system, it's a church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, well, of course, you know it's the church and the world joined together.
Yeah.
But the church system is the chief instigator that will make laws against the church today. Right today, they are trying to form certain laws. Certain people are suggesting certain laws to the government that will bind us and make us preach what they want us to preach. Amen. But they used to tell me that you can carry a horse to the water, but you can't get him drink. And I am that horse.
Amen.
Amen. They won't make me drink. They'll take every horse they can to the water, but they won't make it drink. And so praise be to God, we're not going to drink. Now, let's go on a little further here. For, praise God, amen, hallelujah. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now we go to verse 53. For this corruptible, this one, my God, I'm not incorruptible. Amen. Satan knows it, you know it. Yes. Amen. Yes. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption.
Amen.
And this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You know why? Because the sting of death is sin. And if you have sin in you, you have the sting of death in you. That is the reason you don't need quarrel with anybody about their righteousness or what it is, because if they have sin in them, no matter how they preach, they have death in them, and death is going to rise up and sting them from within, because the sting of death is sin. This is the reason why Jesus came to take away your sin. And when Jesus take away your sin, you don't have any death in you. The sting of death is no longer in you. It is removed. Amen. And when he puts in you his resurrection, then you have the resurrection where the death used to be. Praise God. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Let us turn to Philippians. Amen. You see, if God didn't know you could stay there and listen, he wouldn't be giving me these scriptures. So you better take it easy. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Kabilu shikama yanda sakile mi yandere mi. Amen. Philippians 3. Now, let's read what Brother Paul says here again. Amen. We're going to read from verse 9 down to 15. Amen. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You know what Paul wanted to do? Poor brother. He wanted to comfort in God right then and there. He knew that he had the resurrection within him, but that he did not have the power of the resurrection, which is the coming forth of the man child in his soul. And Paul thought within himself that he should come forth. And when Paul found out that he couldn't come forth, he desired to die. He said, well, it's better for me to go and be with the Lord. But for your sake, I'll stay here a little longer. Amen. He found out something. But what Paul would like to be is right here now. Amen. Paul would like to be here now. But if Paul was here now, then we wouldn't have the Philippians. So they had to be there. But we'll soon meet him. Amen. Here is the point. He said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. He said, I want to be in the form of Christ's death, that I might be in the form of his resurrection. Amen. For Paul knew that it took a death to have a resurrection. Amen. While all this thing is going on, what happens here is that the body get left out. Amen. The body get left out, cut off. And old John up here, who used to have his stronghold in the body, find that when he comes and knock, nobody's at home. It's a dead body. That's why Paul said the body is dead because of sin. The sins that used to stir the body can stir it no more. The devil comes and he knocks and he can't find a way in. Amen. The body is completely left out by the soul and the spirit. And the soul and the spirit begins to feast in God. This is what Paul was talking about. He wants to know God so that he knows him in the power of his resurrection. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's making it plain to them that I, Paul, though I have gone so far, I have not yet got the thing for which I was brought into Christianity. Amen. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amen. If we have any other mind beside the pressing on mind, the pressing on mind unto God, then may God Almighty reveal it unto us. Praise be to God. Therefore, this is the resurrection that we seek. That the Christ Spirit would rise up within us and free us and free nature. Let us turn to Romans chapter 8. Amen. I just want to round off this word. Romans chapter 8. And we read from verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Yes. Amen. And this is what we are waiting for, our bar mitzvah. Amen. The time when we will come into sonship. Amen. Full matured sonship, when God hand over the kingdom to us and say, go boy. Praise be to God. God bless you.
This is the end of message. M030, Life from the Dead.